each other at least. At least. Well, I want you to receive greetings from my wife, Mary, who's actually going to be speaking back in Modesto, where we have our church. I have the privilege of having Danny coming with me. We've been on this journey probably now more than 10 years. And I just want to share a little bit. They said I got about an hour and a half, so you know, I'll just take my time. No, I'm just kidding. I want to share a little bit out of the Word of God, but I want to start with giving you a date. Can I give you a date? It's not my birthday, so you know, don't worry. And that date is October 30th, 2016. October 30th, 2016. Can you remember where you were? No. I remember where I was because October 30th, 2016 was actually the last service that our church had in this building. As Jesse mentioned, 5 years ago, October 30th, 2016, we left Manteca, our church left Manteca, and we merged with a church in Modesto, and it's been 5 years. Before that, I think we were here about 3 years. I know Pastor Stephen was still here, so whatever that is. But as I was getting ready for today, and as I was getting ready to come, and realistically, I had something else I was going to start off with, but it got me thinking of this. It's been 5 years. Can anybody say a lot has changed in 5 years? A lot has changed in 1 year. But as you stop and you reflect and you think about where you've been, where you're at, where you're going, two things can rise up inside of you. Sometimes both of them at the same time. One of them is thankfulness. Because you can look back and say, God, thank you for what you've done for me. Anybody agree with that? At the same time, you could be thankful for some things, and then you could be not too thankful for other things. See, there is definitely a lot of things we can be thankful. You can be thankful about your family, your friends, your husband, your wife. You could be thankful for your church, your work, your health, God's provision, prayers that God has answered. You could be thankful about that, and I'm sure some of us are thankful about that, about certain things in those areas. But then at the same time, on the other side of the coin, there can be things even with your friends, your family, any of these situations where you're just not too thankful. Because in fact, some of these things are the ones that are causing the most pain in your life. Some of the things are the ones that are causing the most stress. Some of these things, you know, family, friends, church, work, health, you know, answered prayers or unanswered prayers are the things that are maybe keeping you up at night, that are maybe troubling you even today as you come and you drink your coffee, and very good coffee, by the way, you know, and you come to church and you try to give your best, you know, your best, it's not Halloween, right? So, you know, not your best disguise, but you try to give your best posture, your best face to everyone, like, you know, everything's cool, but deep down or in the reality of what you're facing, there are certain things you're just, maybe today, if you're honest with yourself, you can say, you know what, I'm thankful for some things, but on other ones, I'm just not that thankful. And as probably you guys already know, I know it snuck up on me, so it might have snuck up on a few of you, but Thursday is what? Thanksgiving. And obviously, we're going to talk about being thankful. But I want to approach it today a little bit differently. Obviously, thankfulness is a biblical concept. You guys know that, right? You know, the Bible says, be thankful in all things. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. It says that at least 3 times in the Bible in different places. But today, I want to focus on on this question, and we'll have it up here. What if I'm not feeling too thankful? I don't know if you guys do this here, but can you say that with me? What if? Okay, you don't do that here. You know, but I want to process this with you, okay? Now, I want to tell you, this is not something I have all the answers to. I don't. This is something that I, as you, struggle with, because we all do. So today, I want to approach this time with you not as somebody telling you what to do. Is that okay? Okay, I'll tell you what to do. Stand up. No, just kidding. I want to approach this time with you as, why don't we process this together? Why don't we see what the Word of God shows us about this subject? Because if we're honest, I think we all have areas in our life today that we just don't feel too thankful. Like, I know I got to be thankful, God, but right now I don't feel too thankful. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay? And I want to talk to you out of the book of Habakkuk, a book hopefully you've heard of it before. It's in there somewhere, the minor prophets. What's a minor prophet? Talk to Pastor Jesse about that. But I want to read out of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. There's three chapters in this book, and I want to focus on verse 17 through 19. I am reading out of the NLT. I guess I'm the one that has to do this. Let's see. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 19. And it goes like this, verse 17. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fails, and the field lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, verse 18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. It says, with an exclamation point. It's up there, right? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Can we pray for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes? No, I'm just kidding. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what your spirit is already doing among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we talk about Habakkuk, I got to tell you a little bit of what's going on in his life. You have to understand, and I'll just go to the front. There you go. We'll leave it there. We have to understand kind of what's going on in this guy's life, because sometimes we read the Bible and we say, well, it says this, but we don't understand why does it say it. What's going on? The life of Habakkuk is a little bit complicated. Habakkuk is a prophet, and he's a contemporary of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is known for two things. One, he's the crybaby prophet. Yeah, he's the crybaby. But number two, Jeremiah prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem that was going to come at hands of the Babylonians. All right? So in that context, we see Habakkuk living in that time knowing about to live out that reality that his people are going to come and they're going to be destroyed and they're going to be taken over by Babylonians. Now, this is all history, right? And in that context, he comes to God. And he comes to God in the first chapter of Habakkuk. And his prayer is not, dear Heavenly Father, you are good, your mercy endures forever, amen. That is not his prayer. His prayer is a complaint. And he's basically coming to God and he's telling God, this sucks. Look at all the injustice around us. Those who are in power are corrupt. Sound familiar? Everything that's going on, it sucks. It's horrible, God. I want to share with you my belief that Habakkuk wasn't too thankful in that moment. Because of everything that was going on in that time, he comes and he complains to God about what is going on. And guess what? This is chapter 1 of Habakkuk. God answers back. He says, and basically it's this. God tells him, you know what? I see what's going on. Don't worry, I got it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to send the Babylonians to bring judgment to those who are doing evil. You guys following along so far? So, hold on. Habakkuk complains. God answers. And then guess what? Habakkuk complains again. because now he's, because first Habakkuk's complaining about his people. God answers. And then God answers, and then he complains again because he's saying, seriously, God? That's not what I expected. You ever get those answers from God? Where you ask God for something, he gives it to you. You're like, that's not how I wanted it, God. I wanted it medium rare, not well done. So now he complains again because God tells Babylonians, they're going to destroy your people, they're going to bring judgment. And then Habakkuk's like, what? This is even worse. Because these guys are even worse than the guys I'm complaining about. Are we following along? So he complains again, and guess what does God do? Sends fire and brimstone. Oh! He answers him again. He because this is what I want to tell you. One of the first things I want to tell you today is, it's okay. First, it's okay not to be okay. And second, it's okay to take your mess to God. So what if I'm not feeling too thankful? This is my first point for you today. I got about 20 of them, so I'm just kidding. You notice how only the pastors laugh, right? They're like, yeah, all right, 20. All of you are like, he better not have 20. So, I mean, maybe 20 minutes, but... He's complaining. Let's try this again. Can you edit this out of the video, please? First thing I want to tell you is, if today you're not feeling too thankful about something that's going on in your life, if in fact it's causing you pain, if in fact it's causing you complaint, okay, go and complain to God. You need to know something about God if you haven't figured this out yet. God does not have low self-esteem. He can handle it. You're not going to go to God and say whatever you're going to say, and he's going to be like, oh, I'm done. He's not going to get offended. In fact, it's as you go to him and you have that back and forth with him that your relationship actually strengthens. That your relationship actually develops. Anybody here who's married, hello, understands that sometimes you gotta have hard conversations. And sometimes you have to talk about things that are very uncomfortable. But anybody who has done that also understands that your relationship is strengthened because of that. See, God is not going to get all freaked out. God's not going to say, oh, you hurt my feelings. Because why don't we have hard conversations with people sometimes?
Because we don't want to hurt their feelings.
You're not going to hurt God's feelings. Somebody needs to hear that. I'll say it in Spanish, but you won't understand. Just Danny. Maybe Jesse. No, never mind. See, you can go and you can complain to God, and it's okay. He's not going to get all freaked out. I'll give you another example. There are 150 Psalms, right? We're going to read them all today. There's 150 Psalms. Some Psalms are of thanksgiving. Some Psalms are of praise. But then there's also Psalms of laments. In fact, there's a whole book in the Bible called, you guessed it, Lamentations. What is lamenting?
Complaining.
See, because God is not going to get all freaked out at your complaining. And I'll ask you this. Instead of complaining about things with people who can't fix anything, why not go with the person who can actually fix it? Why not actually go with the person who can actually do something about it? So Habakkuk chapter, let me tell you this. I told you there's three chapters, right? Three. I know my finger. There's three chapters in Lamentations. The first two are Habakkuk complaining, God answering, Habakkuk complaining again, and God answering again. And I want to tell you this real quick. It's okay for you to go to God and complain. It's okay. It's okay for you to go to God and tell him what's going on. Actually, I think God wants to hear you. Anybody agree with that? God actually wants to hear you. Go to God, tell him what's going on, but just know this. Yes, God wants to hear you, but then you got to be open to hearing God. Hello? You got to be open for him to talk back. And this is the second thing I want to share with you guys. Number two is, so what are we talking about? What if what? I'm not feeling too thankful. Number one, complain to God. Number two is this. Be open to a change of perspective. Because chapter one and chapter two is complaining, God answers, complaining, God answers. And then in chapter three, Habakkuk's perspective changes a little bit. In chapter 3, and I'm going to encourage you to read this, not right now, but read it at home this week. In chapter 3, we see Habakkuk then say, yes, the situation is not the best. Yes, the situation sucks. But you know what, God, you are still good. God, you are still powerful. God, you are still great. And beginning of chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to the end of that chapter, it's a song of Habakkuk saying, God is powerful, God is mighty, God is all-knowing. And he gets to the point in verse 17, which we read earlier, and I'll put it up here one more time. He gets to this point where he says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on vines, even though the olive crops failed and the field lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. My this is, even though everything sucks. For some reason, I have more words in Spanish that I could say, but I'm not going to say. He's saying, even if I don't get what I want, hello? Even if the situation doesn't even change. Because guess what? Habakkuk prayed, he asked God, he was saying, God, please help us. And guess what? Either way, the destruction was going to come for that time, for that people. Even though he was going to miss everything, even though his economy was going to be affected, even though his money, even though his wealth, even though even his provision, even though everything was going to be not the best, he comes to a change in perspective. There's this movie, I'm going to try to sound very spiritual, called Monsters and Aliens. That doesn't mean I didn't watch it by myself. But anyways. But in that movie, the main character, all of a sudden, because of what, you know, whatever, it's a cartoon movie, right? She starts growing. Right? Gigantic, forgot her name. Right? She starts growing. And she's talking to her fiance. Who's a jerk, but that's another subject for another time. And as she's growing, listen, as she is growing, the fiance is, oh my God, you're getting so big. But she is saying, hey, you're getting so small. What change? What's the change? Why does one see it so small and the other one sees it so big? Because of perspective. And I tell you what, many times we are going through situations and our perspective is blurred. Our sight is blurred. The way we see things, in Spanish there's a saying, que te ahogas en un vaso de agua, which means you drown yourself in a cup of water. Why? Because of perspective. There's a big difference when you go to San Francisco, Los Angeles, wherever you go, and you see a huge building. There's a big difference on how you see things from the bottom up than from the top down. There's a huge difference. And I will submit to you today that in this back and forth between you and God, in this complaining and God talking, and as Habakkuk was receiving it, that in that conversation and in that time, I will submit to you that your perspective can change. And the way you see things can change. Anybody ever go through a situation and while you went through it, it was the worst thing ever? But then you look back and you say, wow, I can see things now that I didn't see then. What changed? Perspective. You ever look back and say, wow, God saved me from that one, from that thing. What changed? Say it with me. Perspective. And as we are going through whatever we are going through, and as you are praying and as you are talking to God, situations, they don't always, I want to tell you something. God will not always answer your prayers how you want him to. Right? Anybody know that's true? He won't always do it how you want it, how you want him to. I'll tell you this, prayer does not always change our circumstance. But if we let it, it will change our perspective on things. I got an hour left, so I'm good. So Habakkuk, my second point to you today is, if you're not feeling too thankful today on whatever situation you're going through, number one, go ahead and complain to God. But number two, be open to a change of perspective. There are things that you're going through that right now you can't see are going to be beneficial to you, but a change of perspective will allow you to see that they actually are helping you. They're actually making you better. They're actually allowing you to grow in your walk with God. They're actually allowing you to grow in whatever relationship you're in. Say it with me, a change in perspective. And the last thing I want to share with you guys. Is this helping anybody? If not, I'll just close out and let's go home, right? Because, and even if you say, no, it's not, I can't do anything about it. You know, sometimes I ask when I'm preaching, hey, can you guys give me another 15 minutes? And everybody, yeah. And then they're like, and then I tell them, it's not like you're going to get up and leave. So it's like, again, this is not something that I got figured out. No, it's something I'm trying to process out loud with you guys together. Because we're all going to have situations. Yes, Thursday is Thanksgiving. And yes, there's a lot to be thankful for. But the reality is there are a lot of things that we just don't feel too thankful because of what's going on. Because of the reality of things. And what I'm trying to share with you is, number one, go ahead, complain to God about it. Number two, be open to a change in perspective. The third thing I got to share with you is this. Let me read this to you. So after the first two chapters, he's complaining, all that, right? God talks, complains, God talks. He finally gets to number three, chapter three, and starts praising God. And then he gets to this point where he says, even though everything sucks, basically. That's my trend. We're going to shorten it to that. That's my abbreviation of this. I don't know what translation that's in, but I don't even think the Message says that. Yeah, it's the Gospel according to Carlos. So he finally gets to this point. Even with all this, he says this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. So after all that processing of complaining, God talks to him, he gets to a point where now he says, you know what, even with all that, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And he makes me as sure-footed as a deer able to tread upon the heights. And this is my third thing I want to share with you as I get ready to close. Third thing I want to share with you is this. Remember God. Remember God as your salvation and your strength. Let me break this down to you. Can I break it down to you real quick? The next 45 minutes. Jesse, I'm trying, bro. I'm going to get it done. It only took 5 years to get invited, so I might as well just use the time. Ooh. I'm just kidding. Kind of. He says he's my salvation and he's my strength. This is like a two-sided coin. On one side of the coin, God is our salvation. We're not talking about in this context my salvation as in our eternity. We're talking about he's my salvation or he's my savior because he saved me from a whole bunch of beep. I think I can say it, but I won't say he saved me from a bunch of crap, but I will say it. I'm sorry. But he's my salvation. And he's my strength. He's my salvation because he saved me from. Think about in your life, times God has saved you from some pretty crazy stuff. Anybody? Can you raise your hand at least? Okay. Maybe you're paying attention, so at least raise your hand. So he's your salvation. He's saying he's my salvation. On one side, he's my salvation. This is true. But he's also my strength. Why? Because there are times where God's going to save you from the situation, but there are other times where he's going to give you the strength to go through them. Do it with me if you can. Left hand, he's my salvation, but he's my strength. And both are equally true. They don't compete with each other. There are times where God is going to save you from situations. And as you look back in your life and as you reflect and as you remember, you can say, yep, that is true. But there are other times where God said, I love you, but this is something you're going to have to go through. But I'll be there with you to go through it. I'll be your strength. We all have situations that we've gone through where we wish we didn't have to. But as we look back, we say, thank you, God, because even though it hurt and even though it sucked, you were with there with me. You were my strength to go through it. And I'll give you this biblical example, and then we'll get ready to close. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is a book known as the Hall of Fame of Faith, right? You know, by faith this happened, by faith this happened. And basically, chapter 1 through 35, the first part of 35, talks about stories where God showed himself as the savior of these people in their situations. For example, Abraham and Sarah, God showed himself powerful and gave them a son. God did something miraculous. God saved them. Moses, God saved them as a child. God saved them to cross the Red Sea. God did miracles. He did wonders. And there's just verses 1 through 35 in the book of Hebrews. Talks about how God showed himself as savior in different situations. How he saved people from different situations. How he did miracles in people's lives. And I think we all have those situations. But then in 35, the second part of 35 all the way to 38, it says this. I should have wrote it up there, but listen. Look what it says. So 1 through 35, yes, God is Savior. He did great things, and he did them, and he still does them. I don't know if you say amen around, but amen, he does them. He still does great things for his people. But on the other side of the coin, or on the other hand, there's also this reality. There are times where he's not going to save us from situations, but he'll give us the strength to go through them. Look what verse 35, Hebrews 11, 35, the second part of 35, all the way to 38 says. And I should have had it up there, but I'm sorry I did it. It says, but others, listen to this word, see if you like this word. But others were tortured. Pretty nice word, isn't it? But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God to set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. So listen to these words that these people actually went through. They were tortured. They were stoned. Some were sawed in half. Some were killed by the sword. They wandered over deserts and mountains. They were hiding in caves. Let me ask you this. Did God have the power to save these people from these situations? The answer is obviously yes. Why didn't he do it? I don't know. But I do guarantee you one thing. Even though he didn't save them from those situations, he gave them the strength to go through them. And if today you're not feeling too thankful about certain things, I've tried to go through this time with you, share these three things with you to help you process and to help you work on it. I was going to say work on figuring it out, but sometimes it's not even our job to figure it out. It's our job to trust. It's our job to wait on him. We all have stories here today that we could share of times God saved us and other times where he strengthened us to go through situations. And as I close today, you can. And I'll have the worship team, yeah. I just want to remind you this. See if I get this. First, you can complain to God. It's okay. You're not going to hurt his feelings. I will even submit to you that he wants to hear your cry. He wants to hear your complaint. Me as a father, one of the greatest things I see as a privilege is when my girls get to come to me and tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. Even when they come and complain and I get annoyed, but I'd rather them come complain to me than somebody else. And our Father is okay with you going to Him and complaining about whatever it is. But I also will submit to you that it left. Is that when you go complain to God, number two, be open to a change in perspective. Thank you. Be open to a change in perspective. Your situation might not change. I can't tell you that. I wish I could tell you that. Go pray to God and everything's going to be okay. You know, give $100,000 and everything's going to be okay. I can't tell you that. It's not true. But be open to a change in perspective. Be open to, dare I say, God's perspective on what you're going through. And lastly is this. Remember God as your salvation and your strength. Remember the times God saved you from whatever it was, that sickness, that problem, that situation. And also remember the times that were painful, but He gave you the strength to go through them. Remember it. I believe not only these things, but these three things can help us in those moments when I got to answer this question, what if I'm not feeling too thankful? So I want to pray with you guys, if that's okay. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. But whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is, you know, holidays are a little bit tricky because for some it's cool, you know, I get to spend time with family and enjoy it. But for others, like, oh man, I got to spend time with that guy. Or it can bring back memories of, you know, maybe somebody you're missing, somebody who has passed away or somebody who left. So we can't say, it's Thanksgiving, you're supposed to be thankful. No. The reality is there are things that I don't feel too thankful about. But I pray that as we've gone through this time, it helps you in that process. So let me pray with you. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And thank you for what you will continue to do in our lives. I give you all the honor, the glory, and thank you for allowing me to be on this stage, on this platform again, Lord, after so long. Holy Spirit, may your word continue to resonate in our lives, even as we have to go and, you know, we're going to go eat and go do everything we have to do. I pray your word continues to speak to us throughout this week, Lord. In His name we thank you. Amen.